God bless you, Brother Billy.
Well, how many of you enjoyed that good preaching tonight?
Amen.
That was an awful week. How many of you enjoyed that good preaching tonight?
Amen.
That's a whole lot better. Thank you, Brother James, for that good preaching from the good Bible, the King James Bible. The Lord is good to us. It's a real joy to be back here tonight in the house of the Lord. Thank all of you for coming and being with us tonight. The Lord is good. I'm glad Calvary covered it all. That was a wonderful song. God bless you. Let's everybody stand and turn, if you will, tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Everybody that's able, stand. If you're not able, then that's all right. You don't have to worry about standing. But I preached last night from chapter number 1 of 1 Thessalonians. And tonight I want to preach a little while from chapter number 2. And let's read chapter number 2, verse 1, down through verse number 4 or 5, just for a moment. And notice what the Bible has to say. This is the model servant and his reward. We don't need to forget that God still has servants. And you and I that are saved are a servant of the Lord.
Amen.
And servants are to serve, and servants are to be separated. And the Bible said, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. Now, let me encourage you tonight by saying this. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter number 58, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It makes no difference what size the church is, how small you think it might be, how large you think it might be. I'm going to tell you that God sees us, and God, as I mentioned last night, knows the motive of our service. And we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for the motive of our service. In verse number 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul said, but even after that we had suffered before. Paul knew what it was to suffer persecution. And if you live for God, you will suffer persecution. And the Bible said, Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, he said, but even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bound or bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. And that word contention there means a quarrelsome spirit. And so when Paul preached the word of God, as he told young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, with all long suffering and doctrine. And when you preach the word of God and you preach the truth, there'll always be some that will appreciate it and appreciate you standing for the truth. But there'll always be some that will be quarrelsome about it. They will quarrel about it and bellyache about it and gripe about it. But that's all right. That didn't stop the Apostle Paul, and it should not stop us either. In verse number 4, Paul said, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. He said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Paul said this in the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, and in verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And Paul was not a man pleaser. Paul had one man in mind that he wanted to please, and that was the man, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing from God? And the Bible said in verse number 5, "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness." And then he said in verse number 6, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." But I like verse number 5 and verse number 7. "But we were gentle unto you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Father, bless the message now and the word of God, and stir your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, Paul is a writer of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. And you'll find the date of this epistle when it was written from Corinth was A.D. 54, after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shortly after that, Paul departed, or his departure from Thessalonica. And you'll find this in Acts 16 and verse number 17. And I want to read that to you. Acts 16 and verse number 17, Paul said this: "The same followed Paul and us, and crying, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God." Let me tell you something. If you're saved tonight, you are in the family of God for all eternity. You are sealed until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. And you are somebody in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a child of God if you're saved by the grace of God. Therefore, you are a servant of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing to know that? And God knows where you are, and God knows what you need. God knows all about you physically. God knows all about you spiritually. God knows all about you financially. And God cares more about you than you even care about yourself. I love 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. When Peter said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Praise God, I'm glad I found out over 45 years ago, Brother James, as a 23-year-old young man, that Christ and God cared so much about me that I could get saved by the grace of God. Amen. This is the faithful said and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 15. Amen. Luke 19 verse number 10, the Bible said, "For the Son of Man is come to see and to save that one that was lost." Aren't you glad, praise God, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost? And so the Bible said, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Now you are somebody. You are somebody, as a preacher said. You're somebody left here. A nobody saved, but somebody left here to tell everybody about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I didn't know how to be saved until I was 23 years old, but I'm glad somebody told me how to be saved, that God loved old sinners, praise God, and he would save every sinner that would repent of their sin and come to him. He would save them. Amen. The Bible said, "Which show unto us the way of salvation." Paul, my friend, preached and showed people the way of salvation. And so we find the theme of this epistle is threefold. This epistle, I'm talking about 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and the word epistle means a letter. Number one, to confirm young disciples in the fundamental truths already taught them. Paul would check by after that he would start the churches and preach to the people, and then he would go back to see how they were getting along. He was not a fly-by-night evangelist or pastor. He cared about every church that he went in, and he had one thing in mind when he went into these churches, was to confirm them and encourage them and strengthen them to keep on keeping on for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. life. If there's one thing that I'd love to see God do in this meeting this week, starting last night and going through Friday night, is to see this church, at the Faith Baptist Church, determine in your heart, by the grace of God, we're not closing the doors. By the grace of God, we're keeping the doors open. By the grace of God, we're going to keep on preaching from the King James Bible. We're going to keep on singing the right kind of songs that have the cross in them and the blood in them and the love of God in them. There's too many churches that's closing their doors on Sunday night, and too many churches closing their doors on Wednesday night, and too many churches closing the doors on Sunday. And we need to keep these doors open and do everything we can to see people get saved by the grace of God, and then to see the saints of God be encouraged and strengthened and revived again. No wonder the psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" In Psalm 86 in verse number 5, God wants us, my friend, to be revived and be stirred up for the glory of God. Say amen. And if I'm getting a little bit loud, isn't that a blessing from God? You'll stay awake a whole lot easier. Amen. Number two, to exhort them. Paul was an exhorter. Oh, brother, he would blister you, but he would exhort you, brother. Amen. To exhort them to go on in holiness and go on to holy living. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with holy living. Not one thing wrong with holy living. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth." And then he said, "Thy word is the truth." In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16, Peter said, "Be ye holy, even as I am holy." And he quoted that from the Old Testament, out of the book of Deuteronomy, and out of the book of Leviticus, and all through the other pages in the word of God. Say amen. Isn't that a blessing from God? "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Amen. I believe, my friend, if we'll live right, if we'll live clean, if we'll live holy in this walk of life, and we can, because God commands us to do that, we will look forward to heaven a whole lot more. Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. And not only that, to comfort them concerning those who had fallen asleep. And you find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now last night, I preached on the kind of church that you'll find in Thessalonica. And only 10 verses in chapter number 1 of 1 Thessalonians. And verse number 9 and verse number 10 tells us, my friend, that they were a worshiping church. Amen. That's what I come to do tonight. It's to worship him. I had a good time, Brother James, worshiping last night. I've had a good time thus far worshiping him tonight. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And let me say again, that is from our heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because John 15 verse number 5 says, "Without him we can do nothing." But Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so it was a worshiping church. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians about those dumb idols. He said people are worshiping dumb idols. Idols that cannot hear. Idols that has no tears. Idols that have no comfort and consolation. Idols, my friend, that cannot pick you up. Idols that cannot answer your prayer. But aren't you glad we serve a God that hears our prayer and answers our prayer and has concern for us and compassion for us? Oh, my friend, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we find it was a worshiping church. Then we find it was a working church. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. And then it was a waiting church. Brother, they didn't sit down and suck their thumbs waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not sell their houses, or they did not, my friend, sit down and say, "We're not going to do anything today because this is the day that Jesus is coming back. Well, they didn't know when Jesus was coming back. Say amen. And my friend, we are to work and we are to labor, praise God, and have patience just waiting on the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I've been told that one verse out of every 25 verses in the Bible makes reference to the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's enough to make a backslid Baptist get right with God and shout, isn't it? Huh? Say amen right there. Amen. I knew you could do it. Now you find, my friend, in this second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, unselfless. UNSELFLESS. Paul was not a selfish person. Paul, my friend, put himself, somebody said you spell joy, and you do spell joy, J-O-Y. And the J stands for Jesus, and the O stands for others, and the Y stands for yourself. And that's the kind of Christian that Paul was. I mean, Matthew 6:33, the Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if you look at that chapter of Matthew chapter 6, you'll find he's talking about everything that you need for your flesh is found in Jesus. Everything that you need for the spirit is found in Jesus. And I found out after passing the same church and only church now for a little bit over 40 years and being saved over June the 28th of this month, I will be saved for 46 years, and we've tried our best. My wife and I have tried our best to put the Lord Jesus Christ first in our heart, praise God, with our time, with our tithes, and with our talents. And I'm going to let you know something, friend. God has blessed us, and God sure has been good to us, and God sure is good to us, and we certainly don't want to take it for granted. Say amen.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Bless his holy name. And so we find here the unselfless love in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And I want to give you about three or four things, my friend, the church at Thessalonica can be described in. About three or four things, and you'll find them in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And number one is courage. Hey, Brother James, you know this as well as I do. When you read Paul's writings, he wrote at least 13 to 14 books in the New Testament, you'll find a man that is a man of courage. Courage. Boldness, my friend. I looked up that word courage last night. I was so wound up so tight last night and drove a little over an hour getting home, and I got home and I sat down and I started reading over the message that I preached last night in chapter number 1, and I got in chapter number 2 and spent about 45 minutes, praise God, getting wound down. I thought I was getting wound down, but I was getting wound down and up again. Wound down and up. Ain't that the way Baptists do? Down and up, up and down. Are you listening? But I looked up that word. Courage. And it really means bold. And Paul said in verse number 2, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. And that word courage means fearlessness in the face of danger. Fearlessness in the face of danger. It seems like everywhere the Apostle Paul went to preach the word of God, they either had a riot or a revival. Am I right? And sometimes they had both. Are you listening to me? Sometimes they had both. Oh, praise God. I mean, brother, I'm glad God still has all power in heaven and in earth. And so we find courage from the Apostle Paul. You find the word bold in verse number 2. Well, in Ephesians chapter number 5 or chapter number 6, if you turn over there, you'll find the warfare of spirit-filled believers and the warrior's power in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. And then verse number 11, you find the warrior's armor. And then you find in verse number 12 down through verse number 17, the warrior's foes, my friend. I think I ought to read verse number 12 to you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now that tells you what we don't wrestle against. And the Bible said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now here's what we wrestle against. But against power or principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're fighting. And he goes on down, you read the rest of it about the word of God, but I want you to get verse number 18. Now you find the warrior's resource. We do have a resource. We have resources. Isn't that a blessing? And we find all of those resources in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing from God? We don't have to go to the secular world to find the resources that we need. Everything we need, we find in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. In John chapter 17, as Jesus prayed the intercessory prayer back to God, he did not pray that God would take his people out of the world, but he prayed, my friend, that God would keep his people from the evils that's in this world. Would somebody say amen right there? Amen. Now, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. He went on to verse number 19. And for me. I want you to pray for all of it. You see how unselfish. I mean, you see that he was not a selfish person here. He said this. And that for me. He put others before him. Pray for all of the saints. And then when you pray for all of the saints, don't forget to pray for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth with what? Boldness to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hallelujah. There is a way that we are to speak, and that's with courage, and that is with boldness, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what did God say to Joshua in the book of Joshua, which is the sixth book in the Bible, right after the book of Deuteronomy? And look at verse number one, if you will, please, of Joshua. And in chapter 1, and after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun. Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. One of these days that's going to be said about me. One of these days that's going to be said about you. Because Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. One of these days, if Jesus don't come back and you outlive me, if you look in the paper, you'll probably find my obituary there, and I will find yours. Because the Bible says we're going to die. Of course, we could go out into the rapture tonight and we wouldn't have to die. Amen. We just go and get that glorified body and get out of here right now. Woo! Not a blessing from God. Yeah, it is. Thank you very much. Moses, my servant, is dead. How dead was he? He was graveyard dead, buddy. That's how dead he was. And the Bible said this. And now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. Hallelujah. Thou and all thy this people unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel, for every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Isn't that a blessing?
Now, he goes on down to tell us, I'm going to skip down here in verse number 6. He said, be strong. Amen. Be strong. He said, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide, for inheritance the land. He said, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong. There's that word again. And very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all. To do, serve, may observe to do according to all that the law. And then the Bible said, which Moses my servant commanded thee. He said, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now wait a minute. What kept him strong? The promises of God. What keeps us strong? The promises of God. Where do we find the promises of God? We find them in the King James Holy Bible. That's where we find them. Isn't that a blessing from God? Now, verse 8. But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Stay by the book. Stay by the Bible. Stay by the King James Holy Bible. Preach it, praise God, without apology. Preach what God tells you to preach. Then go home, go to bed, and go to sleep and let God give the result. I haven't always done that, but that's pretty good advice, isn't it? Woo! Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Yes. Say amen. Amen. So my friend, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians, I know I went over to the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you read in the Old Testament, it makes reference to the New Testament. And then if you read in the New Testament, it makes reference back to the Old Testament. Those Old Testament folks already been where we haven't been. Amen. Oh, somebody said like this. Now, the Old Testament prophesies of the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's right. He's coming. Woo! Okay. And then you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, tells us that he is already here. Hallelujah. And then the book of Acts, my friend, which is a book of actions, tells us that he's gone away. He's gone away, but he left the Holy Ghost of God down here to be our comforter and our guide. And then, my friend, you start in the book of Romans, and you go to all the epistles all the way over to the end of the epistles. It's Jude, of course, only one chapter. And all of those epistles, those letters, teach us how to live until he's coming back, until he comes back. And Revelation tells us that he is coming back. Now, we have pretty good, you don't get in too much trouble when you preach on prophecy out of the Old Testament. And you don't get in too much trouble when you preach on the book of the Gospels, Mark, Luke, and John. That tells us that Jesus is here. And you don't have much trouble. And then Acts chapter number 1, preach about him going away. And you don't have too much trouble. And you preach about Revelation chapter 1 through Revelation chapter number 22. And you don't have much problem. But you start preaching them epistles and start telling people how what the Bible says, how we're supposed to live, and you'll be called a legalist and they don't even know how to spell it. Say amen. Don't even know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. Woo! Ain't God good?
Amen.
We got laws of our land. We got laws of our Christian life. By the grace of God, we're not saved by keeping the law. The only person that ever kept the law perfectly was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I found out when I got saved, praise God, I was complete in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing to know that? God imputed the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ on the inside of you and I when we got saved by the good grace of God. Isn't that a blessing to Amen. Know that? We're in Christ and Christ is in us. Explain Amen. That. Somebody said, okay, put the poker in the fire, and the fire gets in the poker. Isn't that a blessing? And put the sponge in the water, and the water gets in the sponge. Isn't that a blessing? And then it says you put your body in the air, and the air gets in the body. Then you said you put the sinner in Jesus, and Jesus gets in the sinner. Hallelujah, praise God. And you preach from Colossians chapter 1 tonight, and verse number 27, Christ in you the hope of glory, and chapter number 2, and verse 9 and 10, tells us we're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can't add anything to completeness. I challenge you to try to add anything to completeness. Jesus said it is finished on the cross of Calvary. That is the victor's cry. It's finished, hallelujah. It's complete. And my salvation is complete in Jesus Christ, and your salvation is complete in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man, I didn't think, I had no idea I was going to say all that tonight, but I sure had a good idea. What do you say, brother? Hallelujah. That's a blessing from God. So this book talks about courage. Paul had courage to stand. Even, my friend, when he was threatened, like the three Hebrew children were, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in Daniel chapter number 3. I mean, they were threatened, but they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Am I right? Well, who was in there with them? The little boy said to Brother Mays one time, well, there was 4 men in that burning fire furnace, and said only 3 of them come out. Said, how come the 4th one didn't come out? Brother May said he stayed in there so he would be with us when we get in the fire.
Yeah.
Isn't that a blessing from God? Amen. What about Daniel? Daniel was threatened. We're going to throw you in the den of lions. I'm not talking about in the den of lions, with the lions, if you don't bow down, my friend, to the decree of Darius. Is that the right one? Huh? He just kept on praying. I like it's good on show to you. Y'all still with me, aren't you?
Amen.
Well, I sure am glad you are. Kind of hard to preach when ain't nobody with you. But you sure act like you're with me. Look what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. The steadfastness of Daniel. Now when Daniel saw, or when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What about that? And the men, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Darius is not my God, and I'm not going to bow down to no idol. You need courage to stand when you're threatened.
Amen.
I started preaching about, it's been about 42 years ago. I've been pastoring for over 40 now. And I was preaching a year and a half before I ever got the church or started pastoring. But I got on the radio 6 months after I started preaching. I got me a radio broadcast. A friend of mine owned the business and said, if you get on the radio, I'll pay the bill. You can't beat that, can you? That's pretty good, isn't it? So I was preaching on the radio. I was preaching out of thank God you can know how you can know that you're saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can know that you're saved by the grace of God. Well, I didn't know who was listening, but I had a man call me. He said, if you ever preach on knowing that you are saved again, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to stomp your head in your gravel in your driveway. I said, man, I knew who he was. Real close to me. I knew who he was, but I said, you're drinking. Don't make no difference. I said, yeah, it does. Because you're almost quiet as a mouse until you get alcohol in you. That's what that sorrow go down and get some other stuff's good for.
Right.
Say amen. Amen. Your wine, your beer, your liquor, you're straight out of the pits of hell. And that's where it's going back to.
Right.
He said, you're just tuning in. He said, you just preach it again next week and see what happens to you. Well, that was a threat, man. I didn't want nobody to come to my house and beat my head into my gravel in my driveway. But I said, come on, big boy. I said, wouldn't it be something if you was to come to my house and beat my head, you come to beat my head in my gravel in my driveway. Wouldn't it be something if you was to come over there and God was to beat your head in my gravel in my driveway? Ain't more happening. Next Sunday, I come on the radio 50 minutes. I said, ladies and gentlemen, take your Bibles. If you're able to take your Bible, won't you turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13? I want to finish the message that I started last week on how you can know beyond a shadow of doubt that you're saved by the grace of God. You don't have to hope so, maybe so, guess so, feel so, think so. I'm glad, praise God, you can know so. Well, I'll tell you more for 15 minutes. I had myself a time.
Amen.
I thought this was going to be the last time I get to preach them. I was really enjoying it. You say, what happened? He said, he called me up and he said, I'll be at your house at 9:30. 9:30. You said, what were you doing at 9:30? I was back in the prayer room on my knees. Dear Lord, please help that man not come up here. You say, did he come over there? He didn't come over there. But I'm going to tell you something. 2 months later, he got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
He got saved. And he went across the country to tell the folks, amen, Brother Hall. He went across the country to tell the folks, it's always good to be saved. Amen. Woo! You say you did. I did, praise God. Oh, brother, I'm telling you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, the Apostle Paul, were men. They were men that was... They had courage, my friend. I've got to hurry. So you need courage when you're threatened. You need courage when you're intimidated, as Daniel was. You need courage, my friend, when you're facing death, like the Apostle Paul was in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. Amen. We need courage in this day and time in which we're living in. We've got to have courage. We've got to stand. We've got to stand and preach the Word of God as it is to men, women, boys, and girls as they are, and preach on sin and call sin by its name and not apologize. We need to let the sinner know they're lost and they're on the road to hell. We need to let the sinner know they don't have to go there. We need to let the sinner know there's help for them, there's hope for them, there's heaven for them. Amen. And only in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will they find it.
Hallelujah.
We find something else in this chapter. Chapter number 2, we find purity. We find purity. Pure and purity. That means uncontaminated with dross or evil. Look at verse number 3. Paul said, for our exhortation was not of deceit. He said, nor of uncleanness. He said, nor in guile. He said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Boy, isn't that a blessing from God.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother James and your wife. Thank y'all. We love y'all. I'm praying for you. Paul stood. Paul was a holy man. Paul was a righteous man. He wasn't ashamed of it. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm in Romans 12 and 1 and 2. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, people knew that he was a holy man. He was a righteous man because God had saved him and God made him righteous. I quoted a while ago or last night or sometime, Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. let no man despise thee. Yeah. Paul believed in living a pure, holy, clean, dedicated, righteous life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For he, God, hath made him Jesus to be sin for us, which knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 25. Any righteousness that we see, my friend, is because of the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ put it on the inside. Because all of our righteousness, all of our self-righteousness is as filthy rags in Isaiah 64 Amen. And verse number 6. Boy, God's good, isn't he? You got a vessel. God said use it to honor or dishonor. 2 Timothy 2:19. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And he said, if a man therefore purge himself, that means to separate, purge himself or separate himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a blessing from God.
Amen.
Read all of chapter number 2. Read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. You're going to find that Paul was a pure man and a holy man. The church is getting more worldlier every day, and the world is getting more churchy.
Amen.
Love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, 15, 16, 17. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God, in James 4 and verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4. You know what the Bible says? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You ever seen as much of that junk going on in all of your life? God has never put his stamp of approval on fornication. He's never put his stamp of approval on adultery. He's never put his stamp of approval on same-sex marriage. And he's not going to start in this day and time in which we live.
You're right, brother.
Right.
You're
right.
And that is preaching it straight with the right spirit from the 1611 King James Holy Bible and Psalm 119 and verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word, God's holy word, is forever settled in heaven, and he's not going to change it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, we could spend an hour there, but you don't have the time, and I don't either. But you find courage in this chapter. Boy, don't you know, you was a brother that prayed that God would take the Bible and give you something tonight, am I right? Don't you know that Timothy and Silas and all of the people that would follow the Apostle Paul, don't you know that they looked up to this man? And Paul invited them in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ. And that word follow means an imitator. Paul said, I'm imitating the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Because he said in Philippians 1 and verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen.
And so Paul was living such a holy and pure life that he could invite people to follow him as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Any man, any pastor that is following the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be much better off to follow a man that's following Jesus Christ.
Follow that man of God. If he's following the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never go wrong.
Amen.
Woo! I'm about to get into preaching gear, so is the word. You say, oh, he's pulling his coat off. What does that mean? Nothing. That don't mean a thing in the world, does it? God's good. Oh, I could give you several more scriptures here, but I'm not going to. I'm going to give you another one. The church at Thessalonica can be described in these three words. Four words, really. Courage, purity, love, and faithfulness. And I'll hit that another night this week. But I want to give you this one about love, if you will, in chapter number. Let's go to chapter number one. You see, and you find labor in chapter number one. And here was the kind of labor that it was. In chapter 1, verse number 3, Paul said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. How much did Paul love these people? Woo! You know it's good to be loved, isn't it? It's good to have somebody say, I love you. Isn't it good to have a wife that says, I love you? Everybody likes to hear that, don't they? I mean, isn't it good to you wives to have a husband that says, I love you, instead of, you know, this sounds a whole lot better. I love you. This sounds a lot better than I hate you. I have heard men say that to their wives, and I've heard wives say that to them, I hate you. They said it because, I guess they hated them. No, they said it because they was angry and upset. But when you hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ said, I love you. I quoted it last night. Y'all don't care if I quote it again tonight. If you do, I'm going to quote it anyway, so ain't no sin thing. John 15, verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
Amen. I love my family, love my children, love my grandchildren. Ain't that a blessing from God?
Amen.
Wait a minute. I want you to notice, if you will, please, and I've got to hurry. Verse number 7. Paul said in verse number 6 and 7, you see the love of God here. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. We were gentle among you. Oh my. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Ain't that word nurse there? N-U-R-S-E, is that nurse? Cherisheth her children. I looked that word up, cherisheth. It means to warm. It means to brood. Paul had a warmth in his heart for these people. And not only did he tell them that he loved them, but he showed them that he loved them. And they felt his love in his presence. They felt his love in the letter that he wrote to them. I'll show you something. This Bible makes reference to Luke 13. I want you to look this up. Come over there just a little bit more. Y'all all right, aren't you? Is everybody all right? You okay? You don't need any water or anything? Just a little bit, maybe. We'll give you that little bit. Look in Luke 13, please. Luke 13. Let's see if I got this right. Luke chapter number 13. I sure hope I've got this verse of scripture right that I want to give you. In verse number 34. I got it right. Woo! Look at it. You'll also find it in Matthew 23 and Luke 19. But look in Luke 13, 34. Jesus said, as he laments and weeps over Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings,
and ye would not. That's how much Paul loved the people at Thessalonica. And that's how much my mother loved all of her 14 children, 12 boys and 2 girls in our family. We was born and raised on a farm that had over 100 acres in it, and we had all of those laying hens. How many remember the laying hens? Eggs in the hen house, in the smokehouse, in the barn. We was gathering eggs. Can you imagine cooking meals for 14 children? Of course, when my oldest sister graduated from high school, my youngest brother was 6 months old, sitting in mama's lap. She said, she looked up at daddy and said, "Madison, this don't seem right. We got a daughter graduating from high school, and we got a little baby boy here 6 months old." That's the God's truth, am I right? And she spoiled us. And I married an only child. You know, most time an only child is spoiled rotten. But she's an only child. I'll be honest with you, I believe I was spoiled more than she was. I really do. She didn't tell me to say that tonight either. You say, I know why you said that, because the first thing you said, you're pretty smart. Now I'm telling the God's truth, and you listen to me, but them hens, them laying hens, they'd be out in the yard, you know, just walking around, and we lived off of the main dirt road, and the main dirt road was so bad the school bus got stuck up on, so you can imagine what our half a mile was from the main dirt road. I'm gonna tell you something. There'd be a storm, all of a sudden them little chickens and that mother hen would be outside walking around, and all of a sudden you hear a big crack of lightning and thunder. Wind would get to blowing. And that old mother hen, she just opened up those wings for him. Y'all ever seen that? Have you ever seen it? If you haven't, go find you a barn somewhere on the farm that's got some laying hen. And that old mother hen, in hen language, that's danger. Come on in close to me. Am I right, folks? The little old weeds, the little chicks get right up on that mother and sit down, friend.
Right.
Sit down in those wings. And those little chicks were there. They were safe. That mother took the beating for it. She took the storm. Are you listening to me? That's the way God said, Jerusalem, I would do you like that, but you won't do it. And that's just exactly the way Paul felt about the people that he preached to. I kind of got under conviction when I studied that last night. Sometimes I think I may be too harsh. Somebody said, "Oh, but you're just getting older and older you get, the more mellow that you get." And one man told his daddy, he said, "Daddy, you're getting mellow, aren't you, in your old age?" He said, "Well, a little bit." He said, "You know, getting mellow is the next thing to get rotten, don't you?" Are you listening to me? God help us. That's the three things I want to give you tonight to describe the five chapters in 1 Thessalonians. Courage, purity, love, and fidelity, which means faithfulness, and I won't hit on that tonight. That's what the Lord told me to preach last night. I think it's about 11:30 when I got to bed. And I said, "If this ain't it, Lord, I'm going to bed anyway. I'm giving back." Let's stand our feet. I want the pianist to come, if you will. I wonder tonight, do you need courage? Excuse me, there's a song there, brother. Do you need any courage tonight? Did God speak to your heart? Maybe you've been threatened. Maybe there's a danger that you're afraid of. Boy, I tell you, we live in a wicked world, friend. Amen. I mean, you take most politicians care nothing about the Lord. They care nothing about the Bible. They care nothing about the church. A lot of them probably do everything they can to shut us down and to close us up. We're going to have courage. We need courage. We need purity. We need love. And we need patience to be the servant
that God wants us to be. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many know you're saved? Would you raise your hand? Know you're saved. Thank you very much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many say, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight? God spoke to me about something in my life that I need to pray about. Would you raise your hand? God bless you, sir. 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody else? 5. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? God spoke to your heart about something. God bless you, sir. What are we singing, brother? Just play something, if you will, sister. While she's playing, would you come tonight? You don't have to tell me anything. You that raised your hand, just come on tonight and say, preacher, God spoke to me about something in my life tonight, and I need to pray about it. Thank you for coming. Thank you very much. Oh, isn't that great? All to Him. Do you need to come tonight? Just surrender your all. Why don't you do it tonight? Don't wait till Friday night, ma'am. Come on. Sure, don't wait till Friday night. Do it right now. I surrender all. Why don't you look this way just for a moment? Why don't you just walk around a little bit right now and just go to somebody and say, I love you. Go to somebody right now and say, you have been a real blessing to me. Just go ahead. If your preacher's here tonight, go to him and tell him how much you love him and appreciate him. Tell his wife how much you love her and appreciate her. Say, preacher, I love you and I'm praying for you. Go to a brother or sister. Shake a vicious hand, say, hello, good to see you. Brother Hall, good to see you tonight. God bless you, my brother. Brother Hall married my about fourth or fifth cousin, didn't you, brother? Brother Hall? 61. What about that, man? That's man. Ronell and I just celebrated 50 years back in November. Y'all been married 61 years. What about that? My. All to Jesus. Well, brother Buddy, last night I went home, went down the road, took me about an hour and 10 minutes to get home. No traffic coming up here. Took at least an hour and 15 to 20 traffic. Went home last night. I said to my wife, I said, praise God. I feel like I preached what God wanted me to preach, the perfect will of God. Went to bed and went to sleep. Didn't have a bit of problem. We're going to go home tonight and tell her the same thing. She drove up here. She got a nap this afternoon. I tried to, and the grandkids wouldn't let me much. One of them come when I sleep, one of them come over there. I sleep now. We'd been outside working some day, trimming up some shrubbery. Two of our grandsons, one's 13, soon be 14, the other's 11. I sitting over a recliner. We done got in, waiting for wife to cook dinner and get it done. And he come over and all of a sudden had a little bell, and he stuck that thing right in my nose. And I like to jump clean out of that chair. I was sleeping so good. I said, "That's the dinner bell, huh? I'm going to make you sit down over and wait the last one before you get the food." Boy, God's good, ain't he? Do you love the Lord? Say, "I love you, Jesus."
I love you, Jesus.
Amen. Let's quote 1 John 4:19. Let's see. "I love him because he first loved me."
Amen.
Is that the way? That ain't exactly where it goes. Ain't it your Bible? We love him.
Because
we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen. Let's go. I love Jesus. Say it. I love Jesus because he first loved me. Okay, I'm through. God bless you. Billy, preaching to somebody.